Last summer, writer Mark Nesbitt made his fiction debut in the pages of The New Yorker. Now his first book is out. It's called Gigantic, and it's a collection of 10 stories that explore a racially charged world with striking imagination. One reviewer praised Nesbitt for his sharp-tongued observations, convincing dialogue, and arresting worldview. From New York, Tom Vitale has this profile.
Gigantic opens with a story called The Ones Who May Kill You in the Morning, about a man who works on an estate as a human lawn jockey.
Me and Captain Earl stand where the lawn ends, each with a side of driveway and a lantern to hold. Two black guys, they dress up as jockeys. I get the checkered shirt, red and cream, number 13, helmet tight like a nutshell and pants skim as a James Brown dancer. Captain Earl in vertical blue and white stripes, but you can't see the number from here. His tights fit worse than mine. No matter what color suit, your gloves are always white.
The cover of Mark Nesbitt's first book features a low-angle photo of a painted concrete jockey towering over the grass and trees in the background. But the lawn jockey is white.
I mean, he's got a little skin tone, so he's not completely white, and he's not as black as his boots.
The same could be said about Mark Nesbitt, a guy who could pass for either black or white. As the son of an African-American father and a white mother, he says race is a topic he can't avoid.
I remember once I lost a cell phone and I had to report it to the police. And so the lady's going through the whole thing and she gets down to the race section and she's like, are you Hispanic? I was like, no, I'm mixed. And she was like, you're Mexican? I was like, no, I'm mixed. She's like, so you're black and Hispanic? I was like, no, I'm black and white. And she's like, oh, okay. So then she goes back to the race box and the pen kind of hovered there. And then she said, so how do you, I was like, just put other. And ever since then, I like that. I just call myself other.
Nesbitt says it was easy to be other growing up in a mixed community in the 1970s and 80s. When he went to college, his identity became a bigger issue.
When I was 18, I made a point of telling my mom, don't be offended, but I'm going to call myself black now. I think that had a lot to do with being in the Midwest at the time and coming from a pretty racially diverse high school in the suburbs of Maryland and then going to Wisconsin where there was just no black people anywhere and all the black people said hi to each other on the campus and stuff. And so I went through a little identity crisis then, and then the more I just lived my life and experienced things, the more I realized that I was getting as much flack, if not more, from black people as I was from white people. And eventually I just came to realize that I'm not one or the other, and I'll never be seen as one or the other by either side of that, so why even bother worrying about it?
After Nesbitt got his MFA in writing 4 years ago, he moved to Brooklyn, where he says everyone thinks he's Puerto Rican. Nesbitt's stories reflect his experience. Biracial narrators describe situations where they never seem to fit in. His book's title story, Gigantic, is told by a zookeeper who works in what he calls a thrift zoo.
We get secondhand animals from city zoos and wildlife parks. There, the rhinos and zebras get wide fields of dirt. All the cages are oversized. Walls hand-painted to each natural habitat's specifications. Here, the cinder block is a silent Manila and the animals lick the bars where thrown food smashed. Here we have a sluggish boa digesting a tumor. Seals on climate-controlled plastic ice. We've got a tiger with green gums. This is where they put the retarded creatures and criminals, animals doing penance for something they committed when they were human.
His stories did feel like something we weren't seeing from anyone else.
Cressida Leishen is the New Yorker editor whose desk Nesbitt's manuscript for Gigantic landed on last summer. She says among the 200 writers the magazine considered for their annual debut fiction issue, Nesbitt stood out.
You're looking at marginal characters in marginal worlds, yet at the same time, that world is so full and detailed. The writing is really sparse and controlled, and so there's a richness and a humor that comes out of these very small, tight stories.
Mark Nesbitt says he honed his prose by emulating writers who love language. Among his favorites are Dennis Johnson, author of Jesus' Son, and John Edgar Wideman, whose novels include Philadelphia Fire. The 30-year-old Nesbitt says he learned something about compassion working in a series of what he calls soul-deadening jobs.
I worked for the State Highway Department in Maryland. My first day at work, we had to drag a deer carcass off the road and just pick trash off of guardrails and right next to the highway on 95. I mean, when you're in a job like that, you just constantly are thinking about where you want to go, what else there is out there, because there's got to be something besides this one job or else everything's pretty much hopeless.
Nesbitt also tended bar, and he uses these experiences to create settings and dialogue. In a story called Chimp Shrink and Backwards, set in a bar, the narrator meets a smooth operator in a tan Armani suit.
How can a guy like me get a suit like that, I ask? He turns and smiles with the low section pushing the upper, looks at the floor. I'll show you, he says. He starts tap dancing, humming, singing an occasional words, my love, around to see ya. Arms swing in front of him in mocking pendulums, legs snake around and across each other, feet spin in vibration, tippity-ka, tippity-ka.
That story was published in an anthology called Young Black Men on Love and Violence. While his stories follow biracial characters making their way in a black and white world, Nesbitt says his fiction shouldn't be marketed with a color code.
It would bother me just because I think if then somebody was to show up at a reading or buy the book, they're going to be greatly disappointed because that's not where I'm coming from. I don't want to necessarily be marketed as such because, like I said, I just think it's false advertising.
Mark Nesbitt says he hopes his debut collection of stories, Gigantic, is judged as literature and not just African-American literature. For NPR News, I'm Tom Vitale in New York.